When we let every desire lead us, it doesn't produce life. It produces death. Not necessarily physical death, but a meaningless existence, a life without roots, a restless soul. Welcome to Finish Well, the podcast that helps you silence discouragement and chase the dream on your heart rooted in faith. Okay, I want to talk about something really important today in regards to work. Every time you scroll through social media right now, you see a version of life being sold as the dream. It says success means never having to work again. And the highlight reels show endless travel, constant pleasure, and what looks like total freedom. But if you pause long enough, you realize something. That kind of life doesn't produce freedom. It produces emptiness. Because the people who actually try to live that way, their lives aren't full. They're restless. They're constantly reaching for the next distraction. And that's what it is. It's a distraction and they fill it with pleasure. Another trip, another substance, another partner, anything to fill the silence. Now let me be clear. Rest is good. Celebration is great. Vacations, good food, time with the people you love, all of those things are gifts from God. But here's the problem. When a gift becomes a God, it loses its joy. When we build our lives around avoiding responsibility, we strip away the very thing that gives meaning to rest. So here's the question I want to ask you. What if work wasn't the enemy? What if work is part of your design and part of your purpose? Because here's the truth. Life is actually richer when you work. Rest is sweeter when it comes after a purpose. Celebration has weight when it flows out of contribution. But the world does what it always does. It takes what God calls good and reframes it as something bad. It sells freedom with no boundaries, lust with no consequences, indulgence with no limits. And in our pursuit to be our own God, which is sin, to live however we want, we end up hollow. I personally know someone who has tried to live this way. They constantly talk about how great it is to avoid work, to chase pleasure, to live without responsibility. But behind the curtain, it's one of the most depressed lives I've ever seen. It isn't fullness. It's empty. That's the irony. When we let every desire lead us, it doesn't produce life. It produces death. Not necessarily physical death, but a meaningless existence, a life without roots, a restless soul. And the reason is simple. We think that we know what's best and we let our emotions guide us and we think they're truth. But feelings shift. They deceive. They were never meant to be the compass for your life. If we want to understand purpose, we need to go back to the one who created it. We need to go back to scripture, which is the manual written by the creator of life. That's where we discover what work really is. So let's dig in here. Genesis doesn't begin with humans on vacation. It begins with God at work. He speaks light. He separates waters. He forms land. He creates humanity with his hands. And at the end of his work, he calls it good. That's the first picture of purpose we're given. A God who works and delights in the fruit of his work. Then God creates humans in his image. And what's the first thing he gives them? A job. Genesis says God blessed them and told them to fill the earth and subdue it. That word means to cultivate, to shape, and to bring creation into order so life can flourish. In Genesis 2, it says God placed Adam in the garden to work it and take care of it. Did you catch that? Before sin, before the curse, before pain, humanity was designed to work. Work was never punishment. It was part of the blessing. That changes everything. Work was never meant to just drain us and that's it. It was meant to give our lives meaning. Work was how humanity would partner with God in cultivating the earth. Now, yes, when sin entered the world, work was affected. The ground resisted. Thorns and sweat became part of the process, but don't confuse toil with work. Toil came with the curse. Work was always part of the blessing. And that's why even today, when you complete something meaningful, there's joy in it because you're tapping into what you were designed for. And here's something we don't talk about enough. Scripture doesn't just frame work as part of creation. It frames it as part of eternity. Revelation describes a renewed heaven and earth where God's people reign and build with him. That means work isn't temporary. It's eternal. When you put your hands to something today with faithfulness, you're practicing forever. So what does godly work actually look like? First, it's about posture more than position. It doesn't matter if you're a pastor, a business owner, a parent, or an employee. Scripture says whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as if you're working for the Lord. The way you show up matters more than the title on your business card. When you do your job with integrity and diligence, that's worship. Second, godly work is contribution, not just accumulation. The world says work so you can get more money, more status, more stuff. And it's not always bad, but in God's design, work is how you contribute to the flourishing of others. A teacher shapes minds. A builder creates homes. A business owner provides jobs. A parent raises the next generation. Work isn't just what you gain, it's what you give. And third, godly work reflects God's order. Every time you bring clarity where there is confusion, beauty where there is nothing, healing where there is brokenness, you mirror the Creator. Even the smallest tasks matter when they reflect His nature. And here's the key. You don't need a spiritual label on your work to make it godly. You glorify God when you show up with integrity. You glorify Him when you keep your word, when you serve with excellence, when you finish what you started. That faithfulness preaches louder than titles ever could. The lie is that only certain kinds of work count as spiritual. The truth is, all work done unto the Lord is sacred. That means your spreadsheets, your teaching, your parenting, your building, your designing, all of it matters. So here's what I want you to remember. Again, your work is not meaningless. It's not just a paycheck. It's not just something you push through until the weekend. Your work is worship. It's one of the clearest ways you reflect the image of God in the world. Tomorrow, when you step into your job, whether that's at home, in an office, on a job site, or in your own business, remind yourself, I am here on purpose. My work matters to God. My work is worship. And here's your action step. Before your next day of work, pray this simple prayer. God, I give you this work. Help me do it faithfully. Help me see it the way you do. Let it bring you glory. That's it. One prayer, one mind shift, and it'll change the way you see what's in front of you. Because at the end of the day, this isn't just about what you built. It's about who you become as you work with God. And one day, when Jesus makes all things new, work will remain, and that shouldn't scare you. But this time, without frustration, without curse, without toil, just pure, purposeful partnership with Him. So don't run from work, reframe it. Work is not punishment, work is worship. So as you go on with your week, remember what you do matters. So continue to give it your all and finish well.